Hello, everybody. Good morning. All right. So good to see you. I feel like you guys never really know what to do. You're like, should we be clapping or whatever? I don't know. I don't think I'm worthy of applause, but Jesus is. Would you give one for him, please? That's better. That's better. I think you can do better than that, actually. All right. That's good. That's good. That's good. Welcome to church, everybody. It's so good to see you. If you're in the room, of course, I appreciate you being here. If you're tuning in online, appreciate you being there as well. Shout out today is going to Scott watching from Barrow, Alaska. Thank you for your faithfulness to watch. It's pretty awesome. Scott, if you're watching live right now, everybody wants to know two things. Number one, what time is it where you are? And number two, and most importantly, what is the temperature where you are? Throw that in the chat if you would. They are dying to know. If you're in the room and with us this morning, thanks for being here. I've seen several people walking into the auditorium this morning with your first-time guest box. That is a gift to you. And so I know that there are first-time guests in the room with us. I just want you to know that you are so welcomed here. We appreciate you being with us this Sunday. We hope that this service is our gift to you. If you are a guest here this morning and didn't get your free gift, before you leave, there's a welcome desk in the lobby. I'd love for you to get your gift on the way out. It's just a little something to say how much we appreciate you being a part of our service today. If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock, and I'm thrilled to get into today's message. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, good, good. If you're ready, say ready. All right, good. Before we do, though, I'm going to keep you waiting. This was a week where we celebrated our serve team. We have, get this, you ready for it? We have 232 active members on our serve team here at Church on the Rock, which is a very, very impressive number. And so our whole weekend, we had a big celebration on Friday night and just celebrated them. And I know that not everybody that serves on our team was able to be there that night because of schedules or whatever the case may be. But here's what I want to ask you to do, if you would. Would you give the biggest, loudest, most awesome applause to those that serve the house here at Church on the Rock? Serve team, we love you. Come on, would you give it up for them? Thank you guys for what you do. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Really, really appreciate it. I always say that my dream, the dream that God put in my heart for our church, is impossible without you. And so I just appreciate those of you that make such a difference, the way that you just contribute and the things that you do here at Church on the Rock. All right, all right. I had a kid ask me the other day, do trees poop? And I said, where do you think number two pencils come from? All right. All right. I don't always tell dad jokes, but when I do, he laughs. Okay, y'all want to get to some meaningful content? We're in a sermon series right now that we're calling Forever, emphasis on the number four, represented by these cups that you see in front of me. And so we're well into what will match the longest sermon series that we've ever done at Church on the Rock. It's going to end on Palm Sunday with the ninth installment here in just a couple of weeks. Today, though, we're going to dig a little bit deeper. So to set you up, in case you've not been a part of it, just to set you up and bring you into the know of what we've been talking about, we've been talking about the story of God's people, the Israelites, when they were held in Egyptian captivity. And if you've ever seen the Disney movie or the old movie where Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. Like, this is the story that we've been talking about. And there are some things that take place, some very key things that take place in this story that we've been digging into. Because what we believe with all of our hearts here at Church on the Rock is what God wanted for those people then is the exact same thing that God wants for his people today. And here's how we've been saying is we want people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And this comes from Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, therefore say to the Israelites. So here's God, and he's speaking to Moses. And not only does he want Moses to go and have a word for Pharaoh, he says, I also want you to go because I want you to give a certain word to my people. And he says, and this is what I want you to say to my people. I want you to let them know that I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I'll free you from being slaves to them, and I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people. And these statements, these I will statements for thousands of years have been known as the four I wills. These four things that God is trying to do in the lives of people. Listen to me, all people. I believe this, that what God wanted for his people then is exactly what he wants for people today. And so again, we're going to put it on the screen. This is how we've been saying it. If this is going to be your church, it's important that you would understand and know this as a part of our church. I want you to say it with me. This is like what we want. We want people to say with me, ready? To know God, to find freedom. Time out. Hang on. I need y'all to wake. Let's wake up this morning. Come on, we can do better than that. Here we go. Number one, that people would... There it is.
Find freedom
and make a difference. That's great. Let's do it one more time. Ready? That God wants people to.
Know God.
Yeah.
Amen,
amen. You guys are doing really good now. All right, we're ready to get into this series. Today, we're going to talk about probably one of the most sought after topics in these four cups, and that is discovering purpose. We are going to dig down into the third cup, and we're actually going to spend the next two weekends, today and next Sunday, talking about discovering purpose. So we know that God can set us free from the slavery of our sin. We know that God can take the slavery mindset out of us. And then what we need to figure out is that God didn't just save us to be church attenders. Say amen right there. He did not save us just to have like a Christian social club. He saved us for purpose. There's something that God wants to do in your life. Amen, everybody? And so the scripture says in verse 6, he says, I will redeem you with this outstretched arm, these mighty acts of judgment. I love the fact that the Bible says that he will stretch out his arm for us. But the big idea here is to be redeemed. Anybody ever redeemed a coupon? That means that you get full value that someone else pays for. If for God to redeem us back is to say that God has a plan for your life. I think that Satan is an identity thief. That's what I think he's best at. I actually think that because we are born into sin, aka slavery, that we think like a slave, we behave like a slave, and like a lot of we don't even know it because we don't know any different. But when we encounter Jesus Christ, put our faith in him, we are brought out of that slavery. We then have the privilege to walk with God and have that slavery brought out of us. But many people never really discover why. Why would God save me from slavery? What is he trying to do in my life? And here's what I want you to say, or here's what I want you to know, is that God has a purpose for you. Do you believe that? Amen. It is true. God actually wants to redeem you back to the original purpose that he has for your life. The Bible says things like, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. David would say things like, he knit me together. I'm made so wonderfully complex. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. And today, we're going to get into that subject and we're going to talk about it. Is that good with you? You guys ready? All right, here we go. I'm going to give you two things that I believe with all of my heart, okay? Two thoughts to set us up for today. And the first thought is this, that I think that purpose is less mysterious than you think. I don't think it's this big, overwhelming, scary, how do I find it thing. I think people treat purpose like they treat finding their spouse sometimes. Like out there in the billions of people, there's one person. And if I get it wrong and don't interact with them properly and I don't meet them and I don't marry her, then I will have missed my whole life's mark. And I don't even believe that's true, quite frankly. But I don't believe that purpose is this huge, mysterious thing that is hard to find. I think it's way less mysterious than you think. And I'm going to try to unpack that for us today. And then the second thing that I believe with all of my heart is that you have, this is what I call it, okay, is that you have a capital P and you have a little p purpose. That's what we're going to call it for our context. Capital P and little p purpose. In fact, I think that we all have this capital P purpose that once we put our faith in Jesus, we're all about the same mission. We have the same exact job to do, capital P purpose. That's what we're going to talk about today. And what I believe our capital P purpose is what's known as the Great Commission. Anybody ever heard of this?
Yeah.
The Great Commission, if you've not heard of this, if this sounds foreign to you, The Great Commission is the words of Christ Jesus before he would leave the earth. It's the final things that he would say to his disciples. And in the New Testament of your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are what's known as the four Gospels. They're known as the Gospels because it's like the story of Christ who saves us from our sin. Amen, everybody? Like, it's his story. And what we get is we get one story told from four different lenses. So if you've ever experienced something with a group of people, certain things are going to stand out to you that may not have stood out to the others, and vice versa. So if you ever were at an event, it was like, oh my gosh, it was amazing, blah, 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 and you're like telling people about it, and then your friend that was there with you is like, oh yeah, and you remember the one time when he said this, it was so funny, oh my God, oh yeah, I forgot about that. It's the same thing. Just certain things stood out. And so when you read through these gospel stories of Christ Jesus, you get these different lenses, these different perspectives of the way that Jesus would treat people, the way something happened, the way that one thing would stand out to someone that didn't stand out to the other. And when these people penned this on paper, we get these different viewpoints of what's actually going on in the life of Jesus. And there are two places that we find what we know as, the church knows today as, the Great Commission. And the first one's found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is when Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's about to head out. He's like, peace out, going to heaven. I'll see you guys later. And here's what he says. He says, listen to me. I want you to go into all the world. And I want you to preach the gospel to everybody, everywhere. Let me reframe that, reword that. I want you to tell the good news to everybody, everywhere. Because some of you are like, I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to speak. That's not my thing. But what he's called us to do is to be a witness. I want you to consider this, that the earliest church, the most scandalous thing about the church is not necessarily what they said. It was what they saw. They saw the risen Christ. And they began to proclaim that message, that I saw this guy walking around, and then I watched him die on a cross, and then I saw him walking around again, and it was shaking the world, this message. And what Jesus says is, hey, I'm going to leave, but I'm coming back. Check it out. I need you to tell everybody what you've seen. I need you to tell everybody my story. Tell them the experience you've had with me. We are to go into all the world and tell everybody everywhere. The other one is found in Matthew chapter 28 when the Bible says, Jesus says, hey, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples, like of all nations, everybody. It's the same thing. Like, I want you to go everywhere, but I actually want you to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is like a mission. So we know this as the Great Commission of Jesus. Now, one perspective said, man, go tell everybody. And then the other perspective said, oh, yeah, yeah, but we've got to raise people up in this faith. Let me say it like this. Go tell everybody this message of hope in Jesus. And then in Matthew, it's like, oh, yeah, 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 but let's teach them how to walk with God. It's really important. In fact, it's what we saw in Israel when they left Egypt. They went into the desert place. We talked about this last week. They went into the desert, and they learned to walk with God. They had to learn what that would even look like. Not only did they have to learn how to walk with God, they had to learn how to walk with each other, because they were always slaves. They were told what to do and where to sleep. They didn't know how to handle possessions. There was a lot of issues going on. And so it's not just that we want people to drink from this first cup and experience salvation through Jesus. It is also that God is hoping that people learn how to walk with him and they experience how to get set free from the mindset of slavery. So I might have been taken out of slavery, but you know what? I still think like I am in slavery. And Jesus is like, I need you to partake in both these cups. And if you will do this, drink from these cups. Know me and know me more and more and more. Walk with me and find freedom from one thing after another after another. It's going to lead you to discovering that I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. And so today we're going to unpack the capital P purpose that Jesus gave, the Great Commission, to you and I. So no matter how long you've been following Jesus, no matter how much Bible you know, no matter how much churched up you may be or not, everyone in this room that is walking with Christ Jesus has the same exact purpose. And that purpose is the Great Commission of Jesus, to tell them, that is to raise them up and to teach people how to walk with God. So here's what I want to do today. I'm not responsible for the whole church. I'm responsible for this church. God didn't call me to pastor the world. He called me to pastor Church on the Rock. And so what I intend to do is toe that line and say, yes, Lord, I love what I get to do. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you how the Great Commission is lived out here in this house. Does that make sense, everybody? I want to talk about what it looks like if Church on the Rock becomes your church home or is your church home. Well, what does that look like? What does the capital P purpose look like for the family of Church on the Rock? And so we're going to start with the mission statement of our church. You ready? It's going to be on the screen. And here's what it says. It says that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. We exist. Not the staff exists. Not the serve team exists. We exist. Can we personalize it a little bit? I would love for you to say, you exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. So that purpose statement, leave that up for a moment if you would. That purpose statement is fabricated very intentionally around Mark 16:15 and around Matthew 28. And the first part is that we exist to reach people with this life-giving message. Go into all the world. Proclaim the good news to everybody, everywhere. So here's what I want you to know about Church on the Rock, that we do everything we can to reach people. Everything. Everything. I mean, we think about it. We talk about it. We rationalize. We measure. We have conversations. We ask ourselves tough questions. We go back and say, is this even working? Are people responding to this? How many people are actually giving their lives to Christ Jesus? Does the message need to change a little bit? Do we need to modify its delivery? Do we need to work on how we communicate the truth of the gospel? Is there a better way to do it? We ask ourselves these questions. We think about everything that we can, and we do everything we are teamed to do in order to reach people with this life-giving message of Jesus. I just want you to know that. Like behind the scenes, that's what it looks like all the time. Now for you, what would that look like? I would ask you, well, what does it look like? What would it look like for you to just reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus? To which some of you would say, well, I don't know. I don't know how to proclaim the gospel. But here's what I would ask you to do. Just tell people what Jesus did in you. If we are called to be witnesses, the only thing that a witness does is tell what they saw. Tell what they experienced. Let me put you at ease and demystify purpose for you. You don't have to know every scripture. You don't have to know the answer to every theological debate. You don't have to know where the stance of this is or that is to be able to say, I don't know, but I know that he is changing my life. I know that I was in bondage and now I'm free. I know that I have found hope and a purpose that's unexplainable. I can't explain it to me. I'm just telling you that it's that good. I have no idea. We don't have to know the answers to express the goodness of God in our lives. Amen, everybody. Here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Tell your story. There's a Bible verse that says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. Like, what has God done for you? Just tell people about it. Tell people. Because let me give you a little hint. People that are in slavery want to be free. And some people don't even recognize that they are slaves, but they're bound and there's something deep on the inside of them saying, I need hope. I need direction. I need something that I can stand on that is stable and solid. And here's the thing. It's the cornerstone. It's the rock. It is Jesus Christ himself. And we know his name. And we know how to access him. And so what's our job? What's our responsibility? Just tell your story, man. Just share it with them. Even if you can't explain it, tell it with enthusiasm. Amen. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus so that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. Listen, I can drink from cup one and receive salvation, put my faith in Jesus Christ, and really stay there, sadly enough, and never partake in the other cups that God is calling me to partake in. I can never learn to walk with God and find freedom from the issues that are in my life and the things that are keeping me back and holding me up and slowing me down. I could choose to never partake from cup two. I can choose to never find out why did he bring me out of slavery, and I can choose to never make a difference in anybody else's lives. But we at Church on the Rock have a heart and a purpose that we want to make disciples of all nations. We want to raise people up to learn how to walk with God and walk in obedience to him and in response to him, to do the things that he's leading and calling us to do. Listen to me, let me say it like this: to take the word of God, the absolute truth that is found in the Bible, and change our lives to fit it, not change it to fit our lives. This is who we are. This is who we are. So I'm helping you choose your church right now, maybe. But like, you know what? I'm going to seek you out, and I'm going to learn the character of God, and I'm going to find out who you are, and I'm going to learn this by reading it. I'm going to learn this by praying about it. I'm going to learn this by being in circles and relationships and having other people speak into it. Well, how do you see it, and what do you think, and what stood out to you? Come on, we call that life groups around here. Like, I want to be in a place where I'm learning to become a disciple of Jesus, not just drink from one cup, but drink from them all. Am I preaching this morning, everybody? So I want to take you, because I'm going to give us a mission. I'm going to give us a purposeful mission coming out of this service today. I want to take you to one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. In fact, it's what Jesus says about Jesus. And he says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And here's what I want us to notice most. Jesus didn't just come to save sinners. He came to seek them and to save them. Let me say it like this. He's looking for you. He's in pursuit of you. In the same way that God sent Moses to Egypt to go get his people, God sent Jesus to the cross to go get you. He's in pursuit of you. And I want to tell a story today. I'm a storyteller. Is that okay? I'm going to tell a story. Some of you have heard it, and I always say this, like, you know, if you attend a church for a long period of time, you kind of have to, like, roll your eyes a bit and put up with pastors' same old stories. I'm going to tell a story I've told before, but some of you have never heard it. It's my favorite story to put into context, perhaps for us, the mission of seeking those that need to be saved. So one of my heroes in the faith, his name is Chris. He pastors a world-class church. And he tells this incredible story of a time that he and his family were on vacation with a few other families. And so they're out in, I don't know, they're out in some place somewhere. And Pastor Chris is there, and he's got five kids, okay, a lot of them. He always makes this joke. He's like, I don't have five kids because I love kids. I have five kids because I love my wife, right? Like, that's funny. And he's got all, that is funny. So he's got all these kids, and they're on vacation, and they're out in like this little, I don't know, like this little town area where there's shops and different things that you can go to. I'm sure you guys have experienced something like that. And so they're all these families, and there's wads of them together, right? Like there's multiple families with all these kids, and they're going in, and they're doing their thing or whatever. Well, Pastor Chris's youngest son is autistic, and so he doesn't quite communicate the same way that others do. He's got some barriers in the way that he interacts with others. And so they're in the store, and Joseph, his youngest son, as they go out into the streets, they're all kind of hanging out at one point, and they're getting ready to move on. And then they look around, and they realize, like, Joseph is gone. Where's Joseph? And if you can imagine, any parent in this room ever lost a child and you're brave enough to say, yeah, I did that once. Maybe you didn't lose them. Maybe they just evaded you, you know, in their little ninja sneakiness that they do sometimes. Come on, I know. I got three kids. I know what it's like. So they recognize quickly Joseph is gone, and Pastor Chris starts to describe the panic that arises on the inside of him because he understands the complexity of this situation. We're in a very public place with a lot of people. I have a missing son, and I have a son that has a particular difficulty understanding how to communicate. So even if he interacts with people knowing he's lost, he may not be able to communicate to them effectively that he is lost, and he goes into a state of panic. And instantly, he says the mission is on. Everybody unifies around one focus: seek and save Joseph. Everybody does. All right, I'm going to that store, you're going to that store. I'll go back down this street. Where were we last? I'll round the corner. You go this way, and the search frantically begins. Everywhere, in, out, stores, up, down, streets, calling Joseph's name, struggling to find his son who is lost. And he says this, never one time did he ever think, I got four others. Four out of five is a pretty good ratio. If that's your batting average, you go to the Hall of Fame. That's really good. Never one time did he ever think, oh, I'll be fine. I got this. We'll go home with the majority and call that a win. There was one agenda, and in fact, his story turns a bit more serious that when it came to his other four kids, here was his mindset. Help me find your brother or get out of the way. I'm trying to find my son who is lost. And my favorite part of this story is when he talks about how he found the police officer who was leaning against a wall with his hands in his pocket. And Pastor Chris runs to the officer and he says, Officer, my son's missing. We don't know where he's at. He's lost. We've been searching. We can't find him. And he said that the officer never got off the wall, never took his hands out of his pocket. He was just asking silly questions like, did you go look the last place you found him? Which, come on, parents. That's when you're trying not to go to jail for assaulting a deputy. You know what I'm saying? And here's how Pastor Chris described it. He said, not only was I frantic to find my lost son, but I was frustrated at the inactivity of the one person who had every resource to help me the most. And then he turns it a little bit and he says, church, sometimes God may be frustrated with us who have all the resources to help people the most. And oftentimes, guilty as they come, everybody, I find myself slouching in my attempt to witness to others. Hands in my pocket. I actually think that sometimes I give myself an additional excuse because I'm a pastor and I'm in such demand. And there's so many people after my attention and I always have meetings and there's always this and I pray for a living, right? Like every excuse in the book for me. Just put my hands in my pocket and forget that our Father has missing sons, missing daughters. And he's like, please help me find them. In fact, if you're not going to help me, what are you doing? What are you about? Because the thing that I gave to you, I would like to offer to them. They never found Joseph, but no, I'm just kidding. That'd have been terrible. sometimes I forget to finish my stories and then people ask and just thought I would put a little sticker shock on you there for a second. So here's what I want to do right now. I actually want to show you a portion of what I do in All Access every time we have our All Access classes. I actually want to show you something because I would like to invite you into a partnership with me, okay? I want to invite you into a partnership. Because out in the lobby, on every high top table, at the welcome desk, I'm pretty sure they're going to be available in the trolleys if you're riding one of those. We have thousands of Easter invitation cards, thousands of them. And we have printed them for you to take them at liberty. You take one, you take 10. I want you to take as many as you think you can use to personally invite somebody to your church, Church on the Rock, on Easter Sunday morning. And I think by doing this, we will fulfill our capital P purpose. Let me give you some statistics. Studies have shown that people are 84% more likely to accept a personal invitation to Easter than any other service of the year. Let me say it like this. There are 52 Sundays a year, and they're not all created equal. But Easter has a particular draw to it, where people are particularly interested in being in a church service, and when they get a personal invitation from another person, 84% likely to say, okay, I'll come. And I would love to invite you into a partnership with us to fulfill our capital P purpose, to advance the gospel to people that need to be found. And here's how I want to invite you in the partnership. I want to give you confidence about Easter, and I want to give you confidence about every single Sunday at Church on the Rock, okay? Go ahead, Tim, if you would, throw my next screen up there. This is what Sundays look like at Church on the Rock. There are some things that we are trying to accomplish in these services. And if you're here today and you have not put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to let you know exactly, like, we have an agenda for you. We want you to drink from the first cup today. We want you to know who God is. And the only way, by the way, that you can know who God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, Jesus said. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Amen, everybody? And so there are some things we're trying to achieve in our church services, okay? And the first one is this: inspiration. Inspiration. Hey, let me say it like this. I'm going to get very personal because this is exactly how I do it when we're in All Access. This is very, very important to me. I actually believe that inspiration is God's key ingredient to life change. I don't know what your church background is or experiences are or whatever, but I have practically spent my entire life in church. I've been in all kinds of different atmospheres, denominations, scenarios, churches. I've preached in hundreds of churches throughout my life in ministry. I've been in all kinds of atmospheres, and I've been under different kinds of teaching. And maybe you've had the experience where the preacher, he knew it all, he was better than you, you couldn't measure up, the finger was long, and he would point, and he would call you out, or whatever it might be. I particularly don't believe that's the best approach to helping people understand who God is. The reason that I do not believe that is because the Bible itself says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So for us at Church on the Rock, whether it's me or any of our other communicators, we take inspiration very seriously. Let me say it this way. I want people to be inspired to be near God. I want you to want to be close to him, not feel guilty because you're not. I want the goodness of God to draw you closer. I love it when people go, I never thought God could be this loving, compassionate, merciful, gracious toward me. I never thought he was good. Maybe you have a bad picture of what a father is. Maybe you don't have a picture of what a father is. And I would love to paint the picture of who God actually is, and he is loving, and he is gracious, and he is compassionate, and he is good. And so our heart is to communicate the gospel in a way that inspires people to get near him, not feel guilty if they're not. Amen? That's just our approach. That's the way we do it. Now, the second one, throw it up there for me if you would, is celebration. Like, let me say it like this. Like, I want church to be fun. I do. I think that it should be fun. This is why I tell silly jokes with the word poop in them, because it might make you laugh, and you might be like, well, I wouldn't expect the pastor to say poop on the platform. I'm like, well, I'll just kind of be the weirdo if that's what it takes, because I want you to laugh in church, and I want you to have fun, and I want you to look around and go, my goodness, these people are like, they're very real, and they're very, like, normal. They're kind of like everyday people, and I like it, because this is who we are. We want church. I want you to want to be in church. There's this verse where in the Old Testament where King David, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I don't know, I've been sad when that's been said to me. I've been a little mad sometimes when that's been, like, I want people to say, oh man, I get to go to church and I'm excited about it. So we take it, we want you to feel inspired, we want you to be celebrated, and we want this to be fun. Amen, everybody? The next one is this: preparation. This is one of my favorite words in the world. I probably take it too seriously. It's why I don't sleep good sometimes, because if I'm not ready, I'm freaking out. But here's the best way I know how to say it, that we want to prepare the way for you. Remember that story where people were asking John the Baptist if he was the Messiah? He's like, whoa, no, man, like, that ain't me. And then, well, are you like a reincarnated prophet or something? Like, here's what they were saying, like, you're awesome. Tell us about yourself. And here's what John the Baptist would say. He would quote one of the prophets, and he would say, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I believe that this is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to prepare the way. So we, okay, I don't think we're batting 1,000 here. But we do the best that we possibly can at Church on the Rock to make you feel like we thought of you. So we, for example, we recognize that, like, we have two locations, and one's for kids and one's primarily for adults, and our parking lots are kind of awkwardly away from them, and it's a like the layout's a little funky. So we purchased trolleys just to help move people and golf carts. Why? Because we want to remove barriers. We knew you were coming, and we wanted to prepare for that. We think about a service flow and what it might look like, and what do first-time guests need to hear? So we put news on the screen, and we say a lot of the same things over and over and over. And some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, this is annoying. And it's like, yeah, but you're not new. And the people that are new, we're preparing for them, and we're thinking about them. And we produce a class called All Access so that you can learn more about what we believe and how we operate and how is money spent and who's making decisions around here, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because we want you to have confidence in this church if this church becomes your church home. And then when you go to our Camp Rock Kids campus, we want you to see that you check your kids in and out safely. Sheriff's deputies on site all the time to ensure the safety of your children. Background checked volunteers serving your kids that have a passion for the next generation. Like, we want to prepare the way. Why? Because we don't want any distraction between you and the gospel. Tear down every barrier possible. So we want to inspire people to be near God. We want them to want to be in church by making it celebratory. We do everything we can to prepare the way. Why? 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 And here's the last one and the most important one. It's for salvation. Inspiration. Celebration. Preparation for one purpose, salvation. So here's my promise to you. You ready for it? Regardless of the topic, regardless of the communicator, regardless of what's going on this platform, every service at Church on the Rock, every single time, will always end in an opportunity for people to step into a personal relationship with Jesus. Every time. Every time. Pastor, why are you taking the time to tell me all this? I'm going to tell you why. Because some of you, you might not have the confidence to just lead someone to Jesus. You're like, I don't, like, scares me to death. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, bring them to your church. We'll do it for you. Now you know how we think of your neighbor and your friend at the country club and the guy that you work with and your manager and the person that maybe you just picked up off the street corner. Now you know how we think about them, how we're going to treat them. You know what they will expect when they walk into Church on the Rock. Why? Because we want people to experience this life in godliness. We want them to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Amen, everybody? So I'm encouraging you, if you would, for the next several weeks, let's live out our capital P purpose. I want you to prayerfully consider, who am I going to give this invitation to? Who am I going to say, would you please join me at Church on the Rock, Easter Sunday, which service works for you? I'll meet you there. My dad got saved on Easter because of a steak. True story. My uncle said, if you show up to church with me, I will buy you a steak lunch. And my dad was like, I'm pretty hungry. Yes. And he's been a Christian now for a long time. I don't know how long. Decades. All right, here, we're going to close right here. I want to take you to a quick story as we close our service, and it's found in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Let me set it up for you very, very quickly. At this point in Jesus' life, he's very popular. He's very well known. When Jesus is coming into town or in different places, there's a bit of a paparazzi-esque type of buzz. People are excited. They want to see him. He's famous. And like, oh my gosh, it's like any celebrity that you would care about, right? If they came near you, you might want to see if you get a selfie or get a high five, you know, like when the athlete runs in the tunnel, like, oh my God, he slapped my hand. Whatever it is. Some of you, concerts, whatever it might be. Jesus had this sort of, like, buzz about him. And so he's coming to town, and people are excited. And one of the people excited is a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. And the Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus. I want you to notice that Jesus called him by name. Gosh, I love how personal Jesus is toward people. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest
in your home today. And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus in his house in great excitement and joy. Verse 7, watch. But the people were displeased. All these people are displeased. Zacchaeus was also pretty well known, pretty successful, had a lot of money, had really made a life for himself. The problem with Zacchaeus was he had done it in a way that it hurt a lot of people. And even though he was wildly successful and had plenty of money, he was completely disrespected. People didn't think much of him, and nobody really liked him. And Jesus knew his name and said, man, I got to come to your house. Just imagine a celebrity that you care to see say, can I just hang out with you for lunch? You'd probably be like, yeah. And so, verse 7, but the people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they say. They grumble. Ugh. Ugh. Can you believe it? Oh my gosh. I'm trying to make it a little dramatic here. They're grumbling, the people, because Jesus has decided to connect with a notorious sinner. Notice the first word of verse 8. Meanwhile. So at the same time, they're grumbling. Well, everybody's upset. How dare he? Meanwhile, Zacchaeus, he just stood before the Lord in the presence. Golly of the Almighty. And he said, I'll give my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much as I cheated them. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And you might recognize the next verse. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Church, listen to me. It would please me beyond measure for our church to be filled with notorious sinners. Filled up. Filled up with the people that you think are beneath you or that you might be better than. To be filled with people who have perhaps even wronged you or betrayed you. Hear my heart. Because if you're a follower of Jesus in this room, if you're tuning in online, at some point, Jesus stooped down with an outstretched arm to redeem you. You and I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and given a purpose. And I would love for us not to be those people with our hands in our pockets, slouched against the wall with all of the resources and filled with inactivity. The greatest blessing that we could live out is to just live out this capital P purpose and prayerfully consider, who am I going to invite and how many am I going to invite, and am I going to have to attend both services because one of my friends can come to the 9 and the other one to the 11? Am I buying a steak lunch for somebody? Am I picking somebody up? Am I going out of my way? Like, what does it take? For the notorious sinner to just be in the presence of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I've gone well over my time, and I appreciate your grace, but I want to take a few more moments. And I would love to invite perhaps those of you that are in this room watching online, and maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you didn't know that there was a redemptive purpose and plan for your life. And what I want to do is I want to invite you this morning to drink from this first cup. I would love to invite you today to know God. It's very simple, actually. You don't have to do anything except believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he paid the price for you. Listen to me carefully. His sacrifice was enough for you. It was enough for you. In fact, it was for you. And just as I quoted earlier, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through him. And so maybe you're here this morning, you just feel a longing, a sense that, man, like, I need to accept that invitation. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's the greatest decision you're ever going to make in all of your life. And if that's you, I want to invite you to say a prayer. We say this prayer every single Sunday out loud together as a church, and I would love for you to join us. I would love for you to join us because this might be your moment. And we all say it out loud with you because this is your moment before the Lord. And I want you to be able to say this prayer with confidence out loud. If you're ready, we're going to pray. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Let's stand, give God some praise.